Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer?
Father God, I ask that your words would be my words, that you would speak through them, and you would speak directly into our hearts today, that you would teach us, that you would lead us, that you would change us, and maybe most of all, that you would just abide with us, that you would just dwell with us, that we would sense your presence, and that it would be a great comfort to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we're in the season of Advent. I did a series? I guess if there's two of them, it's still a series, right? It's a short series. But this is a two-week series that was sandwiched by the fabulous Christmas program, which if you missed it, you seriously missed something last time. And it's called Advent, which technically Advent means the beginning, the commencement of something. But man, if you didn't know exactly what that meant, if you just asked me, what does Advent feel like? Advent feels like waiting to me. Advent is just this season of Christmas is coming, but it's not quite here yet. Sometimes you're like trying to get stuff done and you don't notice the waiting. But the theme of this message series has been waiting. And week before last, we talked about how we are not really very good at waiting, or not anymore. I almost never wait anymore. Do people really wait in line? You stand in line, but you're not really waiting. If you're like me, you're like anybody else, what do? You pull out your phone, right? And then you pretend you're checking on email, but what you're really doing is, like me, you're doing Wordscapes or Farm Heroes is my thing. I play Farm Heroes all the time. We're not really waiting. You know, you never wait on grocery. You can just order stuff from Amazon. It just appears at your house. I'm astounded sometimes at how quickly things come to us. But the problem is that has destroyed our ability to wait. And for the really big things, for the God things, when you're praying for something, we've lost that ability with the small things, and I think it really hurts us for the big things. It just drives you crazy. It drives me crazy when you're waiting and you're thinking, okay. I mean, last week we talked about this, take it personally. Maybe God is working something in us at the time. And if you're like me, you know, you're thinking, God, could we hurry that up maybe? Could I learn my lesson? You know, just tell me what it is. I'll learn it on my own if we could just end this waiting. And this week, we're talking about something a little bit differently. It's not take it personally. It's maybe don't take it personally. Because it's not always about you. And it's not always about me. And that's kind of hard to take. I used to take waiting so personally. I can remember getting so mad. When I was younger, I'd be late or borderline late for something and driving and trying to make the lights, and I wasn't making any lights, and I would get so mad at God because I knew he could make the lights green if he wanted to, but he didn't, and it felt like he was just out to get me. But maybe, and this is hard to believe, maybe it wasn't all about me. And maybe when you're waiting, sometimes, maybe, it's not all about you either. We're going to talk about somebody today who it wasn't all about them, even though they had waited for a really long time. It's going to be found in the book of Luke. It's in your handout, too, so you can go either way. It's going to be up on the screen as well, but it's in Luke chapter 1, and it's Zechariah and it's Elizabeth that we just heard about. So in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, it's important that I highlighted that they were blameless. And I think it's very important that Luke puts that in there. In fact, he really says it twice. He says they're blameless and they had obeyed all of God's laws. So the point there is that they're not really deserving of this stigma that would be attached to somebody who doesn't have kids. I mean, it exists today a little bit. You meet a couple that has been married for a while and they don't have kids. And if you're rude, I guess you ask, if there's some problem physiologically that you can't have kids, and they say no, then you're like, oh, well, that's very selfish of you not to have children, but you're secretly jealous, right? Because you're thinking, so what are you doing with your money? You just like save it for yourself? You don't have to send anybody through college? Oh, that's so jealous. But there's a little twinkle in your eye thinking, wow, that'd be so awesome. But it's not really the kind of stigma that existed back then. Because back then, you were part of a community, and the job of everyone in the community is to build up the community with children. And not only that, but you're part of a promise that God had made to His people many, many years ago, that a descendant of Eve and eventually of Sarah, that descendant would save us from ourselves, would save us from sin, would crush the head of Satan. And if you're not bearing children, you're no longer a part of that. And so there would be some kind of, like I said, stigma. People would look at you and go, well, what did they do to deserve that? But Luke goes out of his way to say nothing. Nothing. Zechariah and Elizabeth hadn't done anything to deserve this. In fact, it's important to notice that God is not trying to teach them a lesson. This is not about that. He's not punishing them. He's not waiting for them to repent. And that's so often what we conclude God is doing in our lives. What is God trying to teach me? But in this case, we're going to see that it's not about them at all. They're blameless. They have a great relationship with God. This waiting, in fact, was about something else. So we read on. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So the deal is, there are a lot of priests in and around Jerusalem. And this was the kind of thing where you would not do this, not regularly. It was so rare that you would be chosen by lot to have this great honor of burning incense inside the temple that it may only happen a couple times in your lifetime. Now, Zechariah is very old, so maybe he's done this once before. Maybe, if he was really lucky, he'd done it twice before. But this is an incredible honor to be chosen for this. And I can't help but think that Zechariah had the wisdom and the foresight to realize this is probably the last time that he would ever be chosen for something so special. And lo and behold, what happens? Well, when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside, the table is set, and then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear, because who expects God to show up in church? Right? This is terrifying. The last thing that you would expect is that God would show up and answer a prayer in church. I'd like to speculate just a little bit here. What do you think Zechariah's thinking about as he's burning incense inside the temple? This is not like your everyday thing. It's not like you go to work, you're just driving to work. What are you thinking about? Nothing. I don't know. I'm just on autopilot, right? I'm just doing the same thing I do all the time. This is a very special occasion for him. Now, I know that he's an old man now, and this prayer that he undoubtedly had to have children, it's an old prayer. But I would suggest to you that there are some things in life that never really go away. And you may think about some of these things yourself now. Something you missed out on, maybe doesn't really have a sharp pain anymore, but you never really forget it either. And I wonder if that's not what's on Zechariah's mind. That he's no longer maybe praying to God, God, please give me a child, but he's in this intimate moment inside the temple burning incense, and he's got to be thinking about God. And I wonder if he's not thinking, Lord, if only you had given me a child. If only you had blessed us in that way. And then God shows up.
The thing that I love about that idea that maybe he is, maybe he actually is thinking about that, and maybe some of us would go, you know, Zechariah, let it go already. But maybe he couldn't. And right there, as he's thinking about God and maybe thinking about the child that he never had, God actually shows up and answers his prayer. I think maybe the beauty of, maybe the most beautiful thing about all this is that even when we have forgotten, even when God hears our prayers, he hasn't forgotten. Even if your prayers aren't perfect, even if you don't have the right words, you don't have the right heart, right? That's the way we think about it. When our prayers aren't answered, we think, if I'd only said the right thing, if I'd only had stronger faith, right? That's always the answer. If my faith was stronger, if my prayer was more pure, then God would have heard and he would have answered me. And we don't even know that Zechariah is praying at all here. In fact, I speculated that he was thinking about his childlessness, but maybe he's not at all. It's possible he has forgotten. But God has not forgotten, even if we have. Even when we've had dreams that we've completely abandoned, God has never once forgotten a single one of your prayers. And here at the tail end of Zechariah's life, when a lot of us would go, it's just too late, God has to laugh at that and say, it's never too late for me. It's not about how good a prayer you are. It's not about how worthy you are. It's not even about whether you remember anymore or not. I haven't forgotten your prayer, and I haven't forgotten you, in this case, Zechariah. So this angel shows up. Zechariah is freaked out, and the angel says, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, which almost goes without saying, right? But then this line catches your eye, doesn't it? And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Many will rejoice. In other words, Zechariah, this birth, this child is not just about you. Andy Stanley once said, maybe the greatest thing you do in your life is not something, but it's someone you raise. And that's certainly going to be true of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The thing that they're remembered for is not his flawless performance burning incense in the temple. It's the child that they raise. And I would add to it, maybe it's someone you mentor. Because if you only rely on your children, your influence is small. But if you pour yourself into all the relationships that you have, well, the chances of having a greater impact is just magnified, isn't it? Well, the angel goes on to give him further instructions about this child that they're supposed to raise. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. All those years that Zechariah and Elizabeth probably just wore God out with their prayers. And then they find out that it was never about them in the first place. It was about the child that they were going to have. If you're waiting on something, I want you to at least consider the possibility today that maybe it's not about you either. And all the things that you tell yourself, and you know what I mean, right? If only I was a better person. If only my faith was stronger. If only I prayed the right prayer. If only I hadn't done that one thing. Then maybe God would give me this thing that I want, this thing that I wish for. And sometimes
I don't know. I don't want to discourage you from maybe looking at some of these things. If you've got this bad thing in your life, if you have this sin in your life, get rid of it. You know, I'm not telling you don't do that. But I am telling you that that is not what is holding God back from giving you this thing that you're praying for. God just doesn't work like that. There's other things at play. And sometimes I don't know that we can see them from the position that we're in. When I was a junior in high school, I remember I was an offensive lineman, and the guy in front of me was a senior. I was second team, and without being, you know, I'm not going to be modest here, I was better than that guy. I was better. But I didn't play in front of him. They put me in the fourth quarter, whether we were head, behind, whatever. The coach would start playing me there, and it started to creep up just a little bit where I got a little more playing time. And I remember as the game went on, I'd always kind of make myself available. I'd try to stand next to the coach or right behind him, and sometimes I would just stare at the back of his head and burn a hole in the back of his head, and it would always drive me crazy. You know, you're just thinking, how many blocks does this guy have to miss? How many times does somebody have to blow past him before you put me in? Coach, don't you care about winning? But as I look back on that now, if I could talk to that 17-year-old me, I think I'd tell him, maybe it wasn't about you at all. Maybe the coach never had it out for you. Maybe it was more important to that guy that he be able to play in his senior year, by the way, than it ever was going to be for you to beat him out and not have to wait your turn when you were a senior. Maybe that's true of traffic, too, Mike. As you're mad at God for not giving you the green light straight all the way to work just because you slept in or goofed around too long, maybe somebody else is in a little bit of a hurry, too. Maybe they're late or borderline late for a job interview that they really, really need this job. Maybe it's not all about you, or maybe they're just another jerk in traffic. We don't know. And that's kind of the point, isn't it? We don't necessarily know. Would God do that, though? Would God make us wait just for somebody else's benefit? I don't know. You know, 5 or 6 years ago, six or 7 years ago, I guess, there's a pastor here standing, like right here, that took a call to another church. And the timing was such that you guys could have called somebody immediately. But it didn't work out that way, did it? What happened is you had to wait like a whole nother year before this guy, who happened to be waiting so that his oldest daughter could finish up high school, was ready to come here. And some of you are happy about that. I'm very happy about that. But it doesn't seem fair. I'm not asking for, can I get a witness? Would God do that, though? Make a whole church wait just for some guy who wants to be a good father, you know, who wants to take care of some stuff, some personal stuff? That doesn't seem fair. There's a whole lot more of you than there is of me. And yet God seems to work this way all the time. So when Zechariah and Elizabeth were crying out for a child, well, think about the world that day. When Zechariah and Elizabeth were young and they were saying, God, would you please give us a child? Remember Caesar Augustus? The guy who decrees that the whole world would be taxed? When they're crying out for a child the first time, he's still fighting Mark Antony for power. He's not even in power yet. Pontius Pilate, the guy who washes his hands before Jesus, he is a child at this time. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, is not even a twinkle in her father's eyes. The fact is, when they were crying out to God for a child, it just wasn't time. God delighted in Zechariah and Elizabeth. He wasn't punishing them. There was nothing that they were supposed to learn. It just simply wasn't time yet.
I just want to suggest that to you. If you're telling yourself, it's about me, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need a purer prayer, I need a stronger faith, I need to repent of my sin, repent of your sin, fine, you know. But if you're punishing yourself, if you're beating yourself up, do me a favor and stop it. Stop it. Because maybe it isn't about you at all. And maybe God is looking to bless someone else through your waiting. I read something a little while ago. It says this: if you have succeeded without struggle, it's because you've benefited from the struggle of others. Anything important that you have been able to do and you haven't had to struggle for at all? Any women in here who can vote? Did you have to struggle for that? No, but somebody did, right? Minorities who have rights now, they didn't struggle for those, but other people most certainly did. And if, I don't know, if you wanted to be in a right relationship with God, just imagine that. You didn't have to struggle for that. You didn't have to suffer for that, but someone most certainly did. Jesus suffered mightily for your benefit. And all we do is just reap the benefit of someone else's suffering and struggle. But if on the other hand, there's something really important and you have struggled without succeeding at it, maybe it's because someone else will benefit from your struggle. And if that doesn't add value to your struggle, boy, I don't know what else will. Even if you never see the benefit yourself, maybe someone else will be able to reap without struggling the benefit from your weight and from your suffering. And I hope that's a blessing on you as we wait and as Jesus waits along with us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, it's hard to wait. I can't pretend otherwise. Help us sometimes if the thing that we're going to learn may simply be that it's not always about us. Help that to be a comfort to us, that we can be a part of something bigger than us. And Lord, as we struggle in our ways, as we don't get all the things that we want, as it feels like we just want to rush it along and go, Lord, if there's a lesson, could we just say that I've learned it? Would you give us encouragement? And would you help us to encourage others as we wait alongside them for answers that they pray for? All these things, Lord, we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.